So we're about to embark on the next part of our sugya. So we started off a little bit yesterday talking about the principle of whether you follow Rove when it comes to Dinei Nefashos, and the Gemara seemed pretty clearly in a few places to say that. And nevertheless, the Gemara does say in a few other places that Ein Ochel Medina Mamon Nesachar Rove, Ein Ochel Mamon Nesachar Rove, which of course is a big problem, because if you can kill somebody based on Rove, why can't you take away his money based on Rove? So that's a huge, huge problem. So we saw yesterday's Shia was the approach that was taken by Tyson in the beginning of Masechah Sanhedrin. But Tyson says there, in fact, is no such rule of Ein Hochin B'mamon Achar Rov. The Gemara was just referring to very, very weak kinds of roves, which the Sheir Shmaitz explained to mean roves of Tlim B'das B'nei Adam. But if you would have a real bona fide, authentic halachic rove, then you would be able to be Maitzi Mamon, not all that different from being able to kill somebody based on rove. But that was the unique Shita. The conventional wisdom is what Tosfos says in the comment of Chosayim Rebbeis, which we started with the end of the Shia yesterday. But Tosfos says, no, that the Taka is a din of Ein Hochin B'mamon Achar Rov. That is the halacha that carries the day under all circumstances, Ein Hochin B'mamon Achar Rov. And the question is, why should that be so? It seems to defy anything and everything we know about roves and nefashos and mamonos, etc. What in the world is going on? So Tosfos says a very, very cryptic statement. Tosfos says that the reason why you can't follow rov by dinei mamonos is because of the existence of two different factors. One is the factor of a chazocha, and one is the factor of a miut. And somehow, it's the combination of those two factors of a chazaka plus a miyut that prevents you from following rove. So that's mamish sisri Torah, because we have absolutely no idea what the chazaka Tosfos is talking about, and we have no idea what the significance of the miyut is. Every rove has a miyut against it, and we still follow rove. So what in the world is Tosfos all about? So there is a major machlekes, the Gadol Acharonim, as to what exactly Tosfos is driving at. A machlekes between the Prima Gadim and the Sheif Shmaitza. So we'll try to work through both of the different approaches in the Gadol Acharonim today and try to see how they fit into the Tosfos and all the issues that result from this machlekes as to what is pshat in this Tosfos. So in the Prima Gadim, in the Sefer, we're in the Ginas Varadim. People wrote a lot of Svarim. One of his Svarim was a country called the Ginas Varadim, where he collects a whole bunch of different klolim and shas. I guess we would probably call it, famous sugyas and halacha, something like that. That was supposed to be July's man. So that would be, if the Prima Gadim was given July's man, that's what he would have given. So in the Sefer, Ginas Varadim, he develops the following yisoid, and it all starts out with the sugya in Maseches Kedushin, and Daf Pei, Maseches Chulin as well. The sugya revolves around the following question. What do you do when you have a clash between two different principles in halacha? We know the Torah tells us, when you have sveikis, so there are two different principles that you sometimes rely on. Sometimes you rely on rov, and sometimes you rely on chazocha. Chazocha means chazocha meikara, what the status quo was. So those who've been Mashiach know from the past that there are Mekairos and Chumash for both of these principles. The principle for Rov is obvious, Achuram Nahatis. The principle for a status quo, following the Chazakh, is a little bit less obvious. But here we've got a good corner for us to talk about. Okay, we'll move the corner in for those who don't know what I'm talking about yet. So that's the Gemara in the first Pech of Maseches Chulin. The Gemara says, Menoha Milsa Dem Rabban and Zilbas Chazakh. How do you know that you follow Chazakh Mekara? We all live our lives based on Chazakh Mekara. Everybody this morning put on tefillin. Who here checked their tefillin before? Who opened up their parshas this morning to make sure the tefillin are kosher? Probably nobody. Why? Because they were checked yesterday. No, they weren't. They were checked the day before. All the way back. By mitzvah. So the sefer checked the tefillin. So what right do you have to assume that things are remaining the same? So the answer is we rely on the chazakha. Yishtel of chazakha, it's called. That you rely on whatever the chazakha, whatever the status quo was, you have a right to rely on. Menoha milsa dem rabbanan. How do chazal know this deep dark secret that you're allowed to rely on chazakha? So the Gemara has a fascinating proof of this. It's from the sugya of Bayis HaMenuga. The Torah says that the Kohen comes when he hears that there's a neg on the Kiris HaBayis, so he comes to check it out, and he walks in, and he starts to measure, oh, yeah, we're going to have a problem here. But before he says the magic word Tomei, the Torah says, V'yotza Kohen HaBayis. So he leaves the house. So why does he leave the house? Because if he's going to declare Tomei, then everything inside the house is going to become Tomei. It only becomes Tomei once he declares it's Tomei. which is tam a good musahaska for Lashon Hara, since the goyim come for Lashon Hara. So that shows you that a lot of negoyim exist in the world, but until you actually identify them, they don't really exist. So people have a lot of faults, people have a lot of problems, people make a lot of mistakes. So for the person who always chepers everybody, always points out everybody's mistakes, always points everybody's faults, that's where the problem started. You just keep your mouth shut and don't talk about other people's faults, so the faults will go away. So that's the musahaska to the person by nigei batim, that until the kohen opens up his mouth, nothing happens. So the kohen's about to announce that Tomei b'timei sabayis. Where's the kohen standing? He's standing 20 feet away. How in the world does the kohen know that it's Tomei? So here, he came in a minute ago. This was the bayis a minute ago, right? So he's got a little neg on the kiris sabayis. If he would declare it's Tomei right now, I would understand. But what right does he have to go across the street and declare Tomei? Maybe the neg shrunk. Maybe the neg changed colors. Maybe it's not a neg Tomei anymore. So the Gemara says, Zem, no, you see from here, you follow the chazakha. If 2 minutes ago it was a negatome, then it's most probably a negatome as well. And from here we derive a kol terakula, the yafala chazocha, bein lakula, bein lachumra, nuchas tumu vetar, nuchas is an ater, maybe even dinamominus. You always follow chazocha meikara. So now we have the following problem. What if you have a situation that arises where we have a latest asofik, and we have two different klolim that are contradicting each other? If we follow the rov, we'll come to one conclusion. If we follow the chazocha, then we'll come to the opposite conclusion. What do you do? So now the Torah gave us two acceptable klolim, what to deal with in Sveikis, but now we have a steer between the klolim, what do you do? So that was a machlekes atenoi between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, which played out in the case of a Suffolk Isa. Did I put it on the Rambam Kamas? I put that one on the Rambam Kamas? On the pay, in Kedushin? Okay, good. So the Gemara has the following machlekes. You have an Isa, you have a dough that has a cheskes tahara to it. It used to be tahara. For the last week it was tahara. We can assume it's tahara to prove it otherwise. But now you have a child who touched this Isa, and rov tinaikis betavchem be'isa. Most children are betavchem be'ashpa. Most children are tamei. Because most children like to play with dead animals, they play with dead mice, dead lizards, whatever. They like to walk around the ashpa collecting their little dead animals. So the odds are that this child is probably tamei, but we don't know for certain. And the odds are that this Isa is probably Tahor, but we don't know for certain either. So if the Isa retains its status quo, then it's Tahor. If we're going to follow the Rav, that Rav children are Tameh, then the Isa is going to become Tameh. So what do you do? You have a Rav in one direction, a Chazak in the other direction. So that was a Mechlekes HaTanoi. So Rabbi Meir said that Smaich Miyut L'Chazak HaVesel Ruba. That the miut that always exists, whenever you have a rav, you always have a miut. So you take the miut and you combine the miut together with the chazaka, and two is more powerful than one. So the miut and the chazaka join forces and they override the rav. And therefore, we can assume that this Isa is most probably tahor, and you can pass it up, the Isa is still tahora. And the Rabbanan said, no, Rubi v'chazaka ruba adif. The Chacham said that rav always beats out a chazaka. Rav is a stronger force in halacha than a chazaka. Why that should be so, we have no clue yet, hopefully to be determined as we go on. So that's the original machlokes in Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, whether you follow rov or whether you follow chazaka. So with that background, the Rishonim are now bothered with the problem. There's a sugya that appears in the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Bechairis, where the Gemara is dealing with the following situation. I just bought an animal from a non-Jew, just bought a female animal from a non-Jew, and I have no idea whether it has ever given birth in the past or not. If it's already given birth, so then any subsequent animal born will not be a concern of Bechor. If it has not yet given birth, then I got a huge problem on my hands. So I don't know, I'm not sure, I have a latest asofik, whether this animal has in the past given birth or not. So what do? I can't ask the non-Jew, we're not going to believe what he says anyway, he's not an Erech and a Bisurin, so we're not going to trust him anyway. So what do? I have to try to figure out on my own. So the Gemara says, what if you have the following proof? What if all of a sudden you see this female animal walking around and you notice that it's producing milk? If it's producing milk, that's a good proof. That must be, it must have had a baby, because anyone who knows biology 101 knows that the only time that mammals begin to produce milk is only after they give birth. So it must be a raya brura that this cow walking around, or this sheep or this goat walking around, must have already had a baby in the past. So that's good news for us, because then the next baby that's born doesn't have to be concerned with Kedushas Bechor. So that's what one Tana says, Cholof Paiter. Now, whenever you see an animal giving off milk, that's a raya brewer that it's probably given birth already, and therefore you don't have to be concerned anymore with subsequent Bechor problems. And the Gemara quotes another Tana and says, no, that Cholof ain't a Paiter, that the Cholof cannot be Paiter. The Cholof is not a proof of anything. So it's a machlekes hatanan. How do we pass in that locha? So that's a shal in Rishonim. So many Rishonim were of the opinion that we pass in that cholav ain't a pait. That was the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, the third Bechel Becher, shows you, proves you from Gemaras, that we pass in that cholav ain't a pait. Now, Tosfos asks, according to Rabbeinu Tam, why is it cholav ain't a pait? What happened to Rav? Rov behemos einam chovos onkim yoldos. Everyone agrees as a biological, statistical Rov, 90% of the time, the animals do not produce milk if they didn't give birth yet. So why isn't that an acceptable Rov? Why should we paskin this chumra of cholav einam poiter? So Rabbeinu Tam says, I'll tell you why. Rabbeinu Tam says, because in contrast to the Rov that points in the direction laheter, there's a chazoka in the direction of Isser. What's the chazoka in the direction of Isser? When an animal was born, this female animal was born, it had not yet given birth. Any animal on day one of its life has not yet given birth. So when it has a chazoka, it hasn't given birth. When it was 2 days old, it hadn't given birth. When it was 6 months old, it hadn't given birth. Now it's 3 years old, and we have a latest asufik, has this animal given birth or not? So we have a chazoka pointing in the direction that it has not yet given birth. Just as 3 years ago it hasn't given birth, so to today it hasn't given birth as well. So says Rabbeinu Tam, that chazoka is causing us problems, because that chazoka is pointing in the direction that the animal that's going to be born subsequently is going to be Kedushas Bechor. So now what do? Now you have a stira. You have a rove that's pointing in the direction that the subsequent animal probably will not have Kedushas Bechor, because the animal's producing milk, and rove behemas enam chovos elam kem yoldos. So you have a rove pointing in the direction laheter. On the other hand, you have a chazoka meikara pointing in the direction of the Yisra. So Gevalt, what do? You have a stira. What do you do when you have between a rov and a chazoka? So Rabbeinu Tam says, everybody knows, when you have a rov and a chazoka, so you have to be chayshish for the chazoka. It's not so simple. You can't just ignore the chazoka. Why? Because smach miut le chazoka. Because you have to always combine the miut that exists within the rov, but there's always a miut. You have to combine that miut together with the chazoka, and that's going to turn the tables against you. So Rabbeinu Tam says, everybody knows, you do a mefursam, that we say, smach miut le chazoka v'isra l'aruba, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam on kapaskin, that this animal is going to be a kedushas bechor. That was a famous pesach from Rabbeinu Tam, a famous tosis in the beginning of the third pesach of Masechet Bechoros, that we paskin cholav ein poiter, and the rationale for cholav ein poiter is because smach miut le chazoka v'isra l'aruba. So Tosfos asks him, Rabbeinu Tam, who's Rabbeinu Tam kidding? He said, we don't paskin that way. That's Rabbi Meir holds that way. We follow the view of the Chachamim. We follow the view that Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif. So why does Rabbeinu Tam all of a sudden bring up a tchis amesim, the view of Rabbi Meir? We paskin like the Chachamim, that Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif. So we who paskin Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif, we should paskin that Cholof Tachi is point there. So how Rabbeinu Tam doesn't make any sense? So Tosfos says, no, Rabbeinu Tam means as follows. The machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim was a machlokes on a level of deraisa. In the perfect world, deraisa, which is more powerful, roves or chazakas? So we happen to paskin like the Chachamim, that roves are more powerful. So on a level of deraisa, ruba v'chazak, ruba adif. Therefore, when it turns out as a chumra, we're going to have to be machmir. We have no right to be metahir that Isa in Maseches Kedushin and Dafpei, because being metahir the Isa is going to be going against the din deraisa. The din deraisa is that rov beats al chazaka. Rabbeinu Tam in the Gemara Becherus is driving it as follows: midderabbanon, Chazal made a chumra midderabbanon that even though minatayi ruv bechazaka ruv adif, midderabbanon you have to say smoch bechazaka. Midderabbanon you can't ignore the chazaka. Midderabbanon you have to give more credibility to the chazaka if that causes you a chumra. Therefore, we take the worst of all worlds. We're very, very machmir. We're very religious. We're ultra-orthodox. So when it comes to the Isa, so we have to follow the din deraisa l'chumra, ruba v'chazak, ruba adif. Rove children are tamei, and therefore the odds are the Isa is tamei. Even though there's a cheskes tara to the Isa, that's not going to help me, because rove is going to work against me. In b'chayrus, so the chazaka is going to work against me, even though I have a rove l'kula, but I have a chazaka l'chumra, and smach with the chazaka is a chumra midirabana. So this is the view of the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that how do we paskin in halacha? Ruv chazaka, ruv adif or not? So the answer depends. Midiraisa we paskin, rove is adif, but midirabana b'chayshesh, that a chazaka is going to beat out a rove, the chazaka joins forces together with the miyut. So this is the background to our discussion. So before we can even take this Rabbeinu Tam one step further, we should just be aware of the fact that there are many, many Rishonim who disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. Every step along the way, there are Rishonim who disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. First of all, there are Rishonim who hold that we pass the Chol of his point there. So if you hold like that, then the game's over. And then the Rosh of Maseches Bechoros raises an objection against Rabbeinu Tam. So even Rabbeinu Tam theoretically is right, This is not a good example of a Smoich Miyutul Chazaka, because there is no Cheskes Isser in the case of Bechor. What was the Chazaka according to Rabbi Natan? That when the mother was born, so the mother had not yet given birth. And now a week later, she's still Vait hasn't given birth. And then a month later, has given birth. Now 3 years later, we have a latest Asafik, has she given birth? So therefore, you follow the Chazaka. Says the Rush, why in the world are you posketing the Shaila of Chazaka based on the status of the mother? The mother is not important. The shaila is legabi the baby, legabi the uber. When this baby is about to stick its head out of the mother's stomach, so we want to know, does this animal have kedushas b'chor or not? So why are you being dan on the cheskes ha'aim? You should be dan cheskes ha'vlad. What was the chazak of the vlad? I have an animal in front of me and I want to know, is this kedushas b'chor or not? So when it was in utero, before it was born, it didn't have kedushas b'chor. Kedushas b'chor is only cha'pet rechem, only when the head comes out of the womb. So Kozman, that this animal wasn't yet born, it had a cheskes het there, it had a chazaka that it didn't have kedushas b'chor. You want to change that chazaka, so you can't do that. So comes the Rush and says, not when you have an animal that's giving off milk, you have two things in your favor. Number one, the cholov is a rove, so you have a rove lahatir. And number two, you have a chazaka lahatir. Rabbi Natan thought you had a chazaka liyisr. The Rush says wrong. You have a chazaka lahatir because you're being down on the wrong thing. You're being down on the mother. You're supposed to be down on the baby. So very, very lumdash machlekes. You have to learn becharis for this to figure out a lumdash machlekes in Rabbi Natan and the Rush. How do you pasken tzveikas and uchus bechor? Because there are two components of creating conditions bechor. There's the mother and there's the baby. So the shayla is vis-a-vis the baby, but the shayla is emanating from the mother. So when you're deciding the rules of chazaka, do you follow the cheskes ha'aim or do you follow the cheskes ha'ben? So that's a whole very, very long shayla, again, beyond the scope of our discussion right now. Back to our regular story. So Rabbi Natan, Toizin Bechiris, has this idea that mid the rabbanon, you're not allowed to follow Reiv, you have to say smach with the chazaka. So now comes the Prima Gadim and says, that's what Tais is driving at in Maseches Bava Kama as well. Every time you have a rove in Dinim Omenus, so if you think about it long enough, you really have a rove against the Chazaka. What's the Chazaka? Well, who had the money beforehand? So we want to be Meitzi Mammon from you. Remember we gave all the cases yesterday. I bought a barrel. Was it a pitcher? Was it a barrel? I bought an animal. Was it Amid L'Shchita? Was it Amid L'Melocha? So we have some kind of a latest Asafek, and we want to take money away from you. So when we want to take money away from you, we want to uproot the Chazaka. You used to have the money, and now we want to take the money away from you. So can we do that or not? So that's the question. Do we have a right to take away money from you to undo your chazaka? So, well, maybe we do, because maybe you have a rove. Maybe rove should beat out a chazaka. So says the Prima Gadim, not so fast. Although min ha-Torah rove beats out chazakas, but lemaise it doesn't, because lemaise min derabana, we say, smach mitl chazaka, v'isul aruba. So comes the Prima Gadim and says, that's exactly what Tosfos is driving at in Bava Kama. You want to know why ain't hochem v'mamanach ha-rove? It's a chumrah mid derabanan in Ochem Mamanach Arayv. The reason why Chachamim made this takana was it's part of this general picture of not relying on roves. Whenever roves go up against chazakas, so mid derabanan we don't want to rely on the chazaka. So mid derabanan we're not going to take away, we're not going to pass in the shayla. We're not going to take away your money as a chumrah mid derabanan because we're going to rely on the chazaka. We're going to combine together the chazaka with the miyot and it's going to unravel the rove. So on the level of the arayis, attack a hochem Mamanach Arayv. On the level of the Rabbanon, Einoch Mamnach Arev. This is a very, very startling understanding of Tais. It's a very, very difficult understanding because L'chayr, the concepts of Chumras and Kulas only make sense in Isav HaHetter. Isav HaHetter, you want to be extra religious, okay, gezudeh, do whatever you want. You want another Chumi, you want another brisket Chumi, you want to blow more tkiyas, you want to eat more matzah, you do whatever you want. But in the realm of Dinim Amenis, what do you mean we're going to make a chumrah? We're going to change the didirai. So to make a chumrah for who? A chumrah for you is a kula for me. It means you're going to take away my money. You want to be religious and not follow the rove. You're going to take away my money. So that's not right. So the whole idea of being machmim mid derabbanan and dinim mamonis is a very, very strange concept. But that's how the Prima Gadim says taich, says the pshat in the shittas hatosfos. So in contrast to the Prima Gadim, the Sheif Shemaitza says that is not the correct pshat in tosfos at all. Sheif Shemaitza says that the correct pshat in tosfos is as follows. That we are working with a fundamental mistake in terms of defining what the chazaka was that Tosfos was addressing. We use the phrase chazaka that Tosfos was invoking in terms of a chazaka meikara. The money used to be here, therefore we're not going to move the money. The same way that the animal used to be usur, now it's going to be remain usur, etc. So says the Sheish Meitzer, that's not at all the imagery that Tosfos was invoking. Tosfos was addressing a different kind of a chazaka. The chazaka was called muchsok in halacha. There is a special din in halacha called muchsok, that any money that I have is mine. Hamotzech reo levaraya. There's a special din bin HaTorah called the Motzah B'Chavil of Araya. The Gemara in the beginning of the fifth Pech of Baba Kama has a Shaila, whether the Mokor for that din is a Pasuk, whether the Mokor for that din is a Svar. It's not 100% clear what the source of that din is, but Kuleyam L'Pligi, that a Motzah B'Chavil of Araya is a real bona fide din mid Araisa. So comes the Sheish Ma'itz and says that whenever you want to take away money from somebody, you want to go up against a Muchsuk. You want to go against a person who has a Motzah B'Chavil of Araya. You want to take away his money based on a row. Forget about that. You can't do that. All the roles in the world aren't going to take away money from somebody's against somebody's muchzokos. Says the Sheish Ma'itza, Rove can beat out a chazoka me'ikara. That's the marshal in Tumavatar and the head there. So the status quo used to be such and such. So a Rove has the ability to unravel that. We pass in Rubba Chazaka Rubba Adif. But for a Rove to undo a muchzok, forget it. That's a dimid araisa. That has nothing to do with Rabbeinu Tam. Zero to do with Bechor. That's a din in dini mamunis. That's a cloud god in dini mamunis. That ain't hokum mamunach harayv is a din de araisa, says the Sheish Ma'itza. It's a din de araisa because there's nothing in the world could touch muchzok. Why is that so? Why is conceptually that true? Why is the din that Rov is able to overcome a chazoka meikara? That's we pass like the chacham in the sugya of kedusha d'apei. Why can a Rov overcome a chazoka meikara? Why can't a Rov overcome muchzok? What's the difference? It's the same shorash ches zayin kuf. What's the difference? Whether you're dealing with a chazoka meikara, you're dealing with a muchzok in terms of dini mamonis. Gosh. Related to that, maybe. Okay, you can't steal that from the Sheish Ma'itz because he's the one who made up those terms. We'll have a little bit of a different route. So Sheish Ma'itz says the answer is as follows. It says, "May ha'iman ishtana," that when you're dealing with the chazoka meikar v'isurim, let's say the cheskas tara, the isa, so we have no qualms with Rove unraveling that midaraisa. When you're dealing with muchzak mamon, so somehow everything changes. So the Sheish Ma'itz says the yisaid is based on the following. I always give this mashal. This is way before any of you guys were born, but I'll give you the marshal anyway. So this goes back to the first Gulf War. You remember that? You read about that in history books? Was it 1990, something like that? Okay, the first Gulf War. Let's make the first Gulf War. So the first Gulf War was when Iraq stole Kuwait, and then Americans got everybody together, and they took Kuwait back, and in the process, it all got smashed with Scud missiles. That's pretty much how history plays out. So there was a tremendous chiddush that took place during that war. The chiddush was CNN. That's when CNN started. He said, "See, this was CNN's first, first opportunity to be on the world scene. They covered this war. And what was the lashon? The lashon was they turned this war into real time. It was the first time in history that people were watching a war as it was happening. In the old days, so a war would happen, and then a month later, people would figure out what in the war, what happened, Taka. Anyone knows what was the most famous battle in American history that was fought because they didn't have it in real time? Anyone knows? The War of 1812." So the War of 1812, the England and America had already signed the peace treaty in London like 3 weeks before, but nobody knew that because it took them 3 weeks for them to come from the boat to tell them that. So they were still fighting war. They were still killing each other fighting a battle of a war that had already ended. So that's the way generally wars happened in the old days, that they would fight a war and then a week or two later people would try to catch up and figure out what in the world just happened in this war. So CNN was Mechadish's idea. You could mama sit in your own living room, and that was the lush at the time. Sitting in the living room, it was like watching a football game. You could sit in the living room, Havel, and your mama should watch the war play out. So that's called real time. So the Sheikh Shmaitz al-Hadwal Abdullah says that is the difference between a Chazaka Meikara and Mukhsar. Chazaka Meikara is something of the past. Chazaka Meikara by its very nature means I do not know what's going on now. I have no information right now. All my information is old, stale information. It's old news. It's yesterday's news. It means I know that yesterday there was a Negatzeras here. I know that yesterday this Issa was Torah. I know yesterday this animal hadn't given birth yet. I know yesterday my Tefillah Makash. I have all this information that's old, old, old news. And now the Torah says that you have the ability to follow that. In the lack of any other information, you're allowed to follow stale news as well. But when you have a Rove, so a Rove is something much more current. A Rove is information to here and now. I have a statement of truth, a statement of fact right now that Rove Tinokas and Matafchim Bisa. I have a statement of a Rove right now that Rove such and such is true. So when you have a statement of a fact that's true in the here and now, of course that's going to be much more important than a Chazaka Meikar. Of course that's going to override a Chazaka Meikar. So says the Sheish Ma'itz, the reason why Rubi Chazaka Rubi Adif is true is a portion of the Svara, because a Chazaka speaks to the past, whereas a Rove speaks to the here and now. But Bamedim Amamurim, the Chazaka speaks to the past, that's when you're dealing with the Chazaka Meikara. When you're dealing with what was the status yesterday, what was the status last week. If there's another word, it has the same Shoresh, but it means a different, conjures up a whole totally different image. That's called Muchzak B'Mamun. Muchzak B'Mamun means, I'm Muchzak right now. I'm holding on to, I'm wearing the shirt now, I got the wallet in my pocket right now. I'm holding on to the cash right now. A muchzik b'mamun right now, you want to come and be mighty me with your rov, can your rov overcome my muchzik? Your rov is a stalemate with me. Bishlama, when your rov is coming to undo, to fight against the chazaka of information that's a week old, so then the current information overrides the previous information. But when you're dealing with both pieces of information occurring, says the Sheish Maitza, the rov doesn't have the koyach to override a muchzik. If it was shevel ta'asim, lays brayer, based on the ends of time, we can't be mighty mamun based on a rov, because the muchzokos is something that's behavior, something here and now, that's standing up and fighting against the rov that's coming to detract from it. That's the yesodei yesodis that the Sheish Maitza develops. So he says, that's what's going on in that Tosis. That's what's playing out in that Tosis. That when Tosis uses the word chazaka, Tosis doesn't mean the word chazaka in terms of chazaka meikara. Tosis means the word muchzak in terms of a matzvah chilavarai. Oh, very good. Excellent. Okay, good. Okay. So now your mom couldn't have planted you better, okay? So if you look at the Tosis carefully, the Tosis of Zion, Tosis doesn't just say this is a question of chazakas or muchzakas. Tosis says the reason why these roles fail us in the Nimamunis are because of not only is there muchzakas, but there's also a miut here. Tosis says it twice, that it's the chazaka combined together with the miut that causes problems. That's what prevents us from being mighty mamun based on rov. So wait a second, let's walk this through now. Bein lefiha sheish maitza, bein lefiha prima gadim. According to the prima gadim, that the punchline of Tosis was, is that on the level of the Rabbanon, we're combining together the miut and the chazaka. So then I understand why Tosis twice makes a whole point of invoking the miut. That's the punch. That's part of the ikar. That's the ikar story here. According to Tosis, what ultimately gives the koiches of chazaka meikara to override a rov, albeit with the Rabbanon, is the fact that it's mitzdarf together with the miut. So it's because we can invoke this principle called tzmach mitl chazaka, the isal aruba, that's the name of the game here, according to the prima gadim. So we understand why Tosis says the word miut twice. But according to the Sheish Shmaitza, why does Tosis even talk about the miut? What if achpati is a miut or not? What Tosis should have simply said is, I have a rov going up clashing with a muchzok, and the equal, the even Stephen. So you can't be mitzi mamun against the muchzokos. Why does Tosis have to emphasize in two different places the existence of the miut?
Why would you say a rov if there's nothing more? If it's just muchzok versus rov, why would you say a rov?
So that's always tricky.
You're saying that you don't say a rov.
So that's always tricky. That was where Jachloku and Koldolim Gvars. You got to read all those Gemaras, being the third Pech of Baba Basra, being the first Pech of Baba Tzia. You got to make a lot of sense out of those Kolom. What do we do when you have these kinds of mutual exclusive, you know, Psalkim? So I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer to that is. But Tosfos makes Mamash a fuss out of the Miut, the existence of the Miut. So Rabbi Chonon writes in his Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, it's the beginning of Chelik Beis and Kovet Shiurim. So Rabbi Chonon says that perhaps what Tosis is driving at, according to Sheish Maitza, is as follows: that b'medim amamurim, that you follow muchzok, that's when you have a latest asofik. If you don't have a latest asofik, so there's no muchzok. Let's say Marshall, we have a din Torah. Two Adam come and say that Reuven owes Shimon the money. And Bezit has no latest asof. Bezit, Kapaski, and Reuven owes Shimon the money. And Reuven turns around and says, so you can't take the money away from me because I'm a muchzik of the money. How much a joke? He said, the principle of muchzik means mibal dvar miga shalem. That's the posuk for muchzik, for muchzik of araya. When you have a sofik, you don't know what to do, so then the money stays by the muchzik. But if you know what to do, so the money doesn't stay by the muchzik anymore. So then that's not a sofik. When you have a sofik in moment, then there's a call of muchzik of araya. There's no sofik, then there's no sofik. So as Rabbi Chonon explains, that if one would have viewed rov as being an absolute, whenever you have a rov, so the game's over. There's no sofik, there's not even a little sofik anymore. That the Torah is nimnu v'gomru, that the halacha is like the rov. So then what do you mean that rov can't beat out muchzok? Whenever you have rov, it undermines the latest sofik. If it undermines the latest sofik, then there's no place for muchzokos. So that's what Tosis had to pull out the miut out of the hat and say, no, that rov is not really completely undermine a latest asafik. Even though there's a rov, it's blight the latest asafik. What's the latest asafik? The miut. It creates a latest asafik. Once the miut still exists to create a latest asafik, then memela, the muhsa carries the day. So we have a major machloikis here between the Prima Gadam on the one hand and the Sheikh Shmaitza with Rabbi Chanan's little touch up with the Sheikh Shmaitza as to what Taisus is driving at. Taisus clearly uses the word muhsuk, it uses the word chazaka here. Taisus clearly uses the word miut here. And we're trying to figure out what did they mean. So according to the Prima Gadam, what Taisus meant was the chazaka of chazaka mekara, which joins forces with a miut, and those two things combine together and create a problem, therefore you can't follow Rav, albeit Midir Rabbanan. According to the Sheikh Shmaitz and Rabbi Chana, no. You have the wrong chazaka, and the mir is doing something totally different than you thought it was. The real chazaka here is a muhzaka, so what's clever raya? The mute is not joining forces with anything. The mute is setting up a stage that you have a latest asafik. Once you have a latest asafik, memela, muhzaka is going to be untouchable. A very, very different mahalach, two very, very different ways of reading the same tosis.
According to Rabbi Chana, when can you ever rely on Rav?
No, we're not going to have it. The Torah says Echor HaMahathas, because when you have nothing else, you have no other factor, then the Torah says you follow Rav, even though there's still a later, even though there's still a Sofik. But when you have Muhzokos, so then Muhzokos is more powerful than Rav, because, or it's at least equal to Rav, because since Muhzokos is something in the here and now, the same as Rav is the here and now, so the two forces collide and won't let you budge, so mainly you have to Shevel Tasod. So two very, very different approaches in the Gedolei HaPoskim.
It doesn't say smoking.
Right, it doesn't even say the word. Wait, what's his lashon? What's exact lashon of Taisus? Ika miut v'chazaka. Right. So the Prima Gadam is reading in Ika miut v'chazaka as being smoking with the chazaka, and Shishvan says it doesn't mean that v'chol. Right. Anyone think of a nafkamina? Possible nafkamina ladina in the realm of dina mamunas? So again, everyone agrees that enoch mamunach arayv. So we're just not sure what the lumdus is according to this thesis. Some come up with a possible quirk of an afkamina. Anyone here learned chesabatim? Nobody? Chesabatim? Okay. Years ago, right? Okay. Not in the sigi now, I'm saying every lifetime. One lifetime, learned chesabatim. Okay. So there's a... The whole parak of chesabatim is working with an assumption that the Gemara never spells out. It's an amazing perk because it's the whole perk is assuming that you figured it out before the opening day. It's the pre-shir psich of the Rosh Hashiva. Namely, the Mishnah starts out in the third of Avastra talking about if you have a sichsuch in Dini Mamunas as relates to karka, that I claim this karka belongs to me and you claim the karka belongs to you. So what do you do, Gavalt? What do you follow? So the assumption of the entire perk is that your follower is called the Cheskes Marakama. Whoever owned the karka before, and let's say a Beis Din knows for a fact that Reuven owned the land beforehand, so then Reuven gets to hold on to the land. And now Shimon becomes the Motz Bechavero. Shimon has to prove that he owns the land. How can you ever prove you own land? One of two ways. Either you can come up with a shtar that he sold it to you, or you can come up with called Chesed Gimel Shanim. If you lived on the land for 3 years, the other person didn't protest, so somehow that's a raya. That the raya, the Rabban, again, we're not learning Chesed Batim right now, that's some kind of a raya that you are the rightful owner. But with the absence of either one of those rayas, with neither a shtar nor a Chesed Gimel Shanim, so then the Cheskes Markama wins the land. Why does the Cheskes Markama win the land? Why doesn't the Muchsuk win the land? If I'm sitting on the land right now, even if I'm not there for 3 years, I'm here today, why don't you say I'm Motzach Levaraya? So it's clear for the Gemara that there's no such thing as Muchsukos on land, because you're not holding on to land. Muchsuk means I have my wallet in my pocket, I'm wearing my shirt, I'm an animal in my backyard. Those are called Muchsuk. But I'm sitting on land, I'm living in a house, I'm not Muchsuk on the land. So the whole concept of Muchsuk doesn't exist. But what do you do when you have a din Torah and din Amarim without Muchsuk? That's what the Gemara says about Metziyat Dafkuf, that the next best thing is you follow Cheskes Marakama. The best thing to follow in a din Torah Mamunus is Muchsuk. But if you don't have a real Muchsuk for whatever reason, either because it's land that doesn't lend itself to Muchsuk, or sometimes there are other reasons why we don't have Muchsuk, so then the next best thing is Cheskes Marakama. That's the Ferish Gemara in Metziyat Dafkuf and Benalim. So that's what's playing out in Baba Basra, that whenever you have a latest Asofik in Karka, unless one of the parties can come up with a grandiose proof, either a shtar or chesed gimel shanim, the one who's going to ultimately walk away with this land is the person who has the chesed marakama. What would you say the din would be in the following case? Let's say I have a chesed marakama, and you're trying to prove that you own this land. and you can't bring Edim, and you don't have a shtar, you don't have anything, what do you have? You're able to put together some unbelievable Rove. You convince Beis, and it's in the world upside down to show you, based on the principles of Rove, there's a 95% chance that you're the rightful owner of this karka. What do you think they do with me? Would we give you the karka or not? Food for thought. What would you think? So let's see if we can work it through. So in order to answer this question, I have to tell you one more piece of information. Okay? And once I fill in that piece of information, then we're gonna try to address this kasha properly. This halacha, that when you don't have muhsuk, you follow Cheskes Murakama, Kumaras and Baba Basra, Baba Metzia. Clear as day, this halacha, that when you don't have muhsuk, so you still follow Cheskes Murakama. Where did that come from? What kind of halacha is that? Muhsuk is a posuk, is a svar, is a something. Where did Cheskes Murakama come from? If I'm not the muhsuk, so why do I have any koyach? Why does that mean anything in halach? The fact that I used to own this land 6 months ago, why is that significant? If it's not muhsuk, what is it? Otazai. So the Ketzais has a famous lachlegis that he had with his brother, with the Trumas Hakri, where he quotes us in a few places. He has this in the Sheif Shmaitze, he has it in the Sefer Trumas Hakri, it's in the Ketzais Hakash, he has it a few places where he has the following shaila. What is the nature of this halacha of Cheskes Murakama? The fact that it exists, those are Gemaras in Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. What's it all about? One of two ways of understanding. So the Ketzais thought that it's possibly based on the following, that it's actually rooted in the Bayis HaMenuga. It's rooted in the Nega in the house. Namely, we learn from Bayis HaMenuga that you follow the status quo. Whatever things used to be, that's the way they remain. So comes the Ketzos and says that when you have a Did and Didim Hominis and you don't have Muchzok, so Zolzayin you don't have Muchzok, but you still have Chazok HaMekara, it means if we know that you used to own this land, so we'll let you continue to own this land no worse than the same way we treat the Nega as being the same Nega that was an hour ago. The same way that we let you weigh your tefillin today based on the fact that the Sefer checked it 5 years ago, because the Chazok HaMekara is still intact, to prove it otherwise, we will follow the Chazok HaMekara vis-a-vis Mamanus also. Now, that's only because there's no muksuk. If there's muksuk, muksuk wins, muksuk trumps everything. But in the absence of muksuk, we're going to follow the chazok ha-meikara because mamonis is fundamentally no worse than isurim. That's the famous var for the ktsais, at least one side of the ktsais. And his brother, the Truma Sakri, vehemently disagreed with him. He said, it can't be, it's not true. Lo yafidim amonim isura. There's no such thing as chazok ha-meikara playing out in terms of dinim mamonis. So what is happening in Dina Mamanus? Why does the Gemara Mitzvah of Kuf say that you can follow Cheskes Murakama? Cheskes Murakama is a lower form of muhsuk. It's not real muhsuk because the muhsuk means that mamash have the wallet in my pocket, I'm wearing the shirt, I have the animal in my backyard. That's a real muhsuk. This is a secondary kind of muhsuk. It's a muhsuk that would not win out against the real muhsuk, but it's better than nothing, and it's also a subcategory of the parish of Masvei Chalav Raya. So Machleik is the Ge'ayne Eilam between the Ketzais and his brother about what's the Lomdus of Cheskes Murakama. Everyone agrees it exists. What's the Lomdus based on? Is Cheskes Murakama based on a subcategory of Issa Vehet of Tumah V'Tahor? It's rooted in Bayis HaMenuga, or it's rooted in the Parish of Emotzei Chaveh L'Viraya. So now that we have those two tzedodim, let's see if we can work out our shadow now. I have a Din Torah with you. And you have a Cheskes Murakama on the land. So if nothing else shows up in Beis Din, you're going to win, you're going to keep the land. But I want to come and get that land away from you, and I present the Zaria, if I present the 95% chance that I'm telling the truth, what's Beis Din going to do with that? So let's think it through. So what is Beis Din going to do? Is Rove going to work or not? So let's think. What do we think? Is Rove going to work or not? So if you hold... let's think it through. So if you hold that it's a chazaka meikara, that Cheskes Murakama is just a plain chazaka meikara, so then what? You have to connect two pieces of chakiras together. Then according to the Prima Godim, what happens when you have a rove going up against the chazaka meikara? So ein hoch mam lacharov. That's the chumah midi rabbanim, ein hoch mam lacharov. But according to the Sheh Shmais, we're cheating now, quoting Shmais and Ketzos them together. But I remember when I was in high school once, so my Rebbe quoted something from a Ketzos, and then it's like a day or two later, he quotes something from the Sheh Shmais that was similar. So one of the boys, a little kid, was a 10th grader, remember? So he said, oh Rebbe, the Sheh Shmais must hold like the Ketzos. It's the same person, okay? So again, let's think it through. So if you hold like the, let's put ourselves into the Prima Gaudim's mindset for a second. According to the Prima Gaudim, that the whole Yisoid of Ein Holchem Mamonach HaRov means that Rov is not going to work against the Chazakah, because the Chazakah Meikara is going to join forces with the Mi'ut Midirabbanon, it's Rabbein HaTam and Bechayris. Smoch mit l'Chazakah v'Shulei Ruba. So that svar is going to be equally true whether you're dealing with Mukhsar or you're dealing with of Chesed Bar Kama. Because the Chesed Bar Kama, no matter what Chesed Bar Kama is, it's going to be subject to that same Smoich mit l'Chazakah v'Shulei Ruba and Midirabbanon, we're not going to let you take away the money. But according to the Sheikh Shmaitza, what is it that's stopping Rov to work for Mamonis? There's only one rule and one rule alone that's preventing Rov from playing out by the Mamonis. So what is that? What bad word? What magic word? Mukhsuk. Because Mukhsuk, because Batzach Levaraya, because it's a Davash of a Haive, it's in real time. Only things that are in real time prevent Rov from working. So according to that Vard of the Sheikh Shmaitza, if you now combine that with the Ktsois, who himself holds that Cheskes Marakama is not Mukhsuk, Cheskes Marakama is only Chazaka Meikara, what will the Ktsois bottom line paskin? That even though Ein Hochem B'Mamonach HaRov, that means Lahotzi Bidei Mukhsuk, but Lahotzi Bidei Cheskes Marakama, Inochinam, you will be able to do so. So because of these two statements of the Ktsois, because the Ktsois holds on the one hand that the equal of what's really ultimately preventing the whole din that's preventing the being mighty mammon based on Rov, the whole parsha is based on Muchzokos, and the Ktsois holds that there is no Muchzokos when you're dealing with the Chesed Berkama. When you put together those two factors, then the din will change according to the Ktsois, that Ein Hochem B'Mamonach HaRov, that's only Lahotzi Bidei Muchzokos, but Lahotzi Bidei Cheskes Marakama, so then you will be able to invoke the prayer parsha of Rov. So, getting back to that story. So, we have two different biurim in the Gedalia Achareinim. What in the world is Tosfos driving at? Tosfos tells us this Yosef, that Ein Hochem B'Mamonach HaRov is a combination of two factors. It's a combination of miyutz and chazokas, but the miyutz and chazokas, how they combine together. So, people got them in one version of what's going on, and the Sheikh Shmaitza had a very, very different version of what's going on. But Rabbi said, we still have to walk through the sugya, mainly for the Prima Gaudim, mainly for the Sheikh Shmaitza, to still understand two pieces of information. Remember what...
According to the...
Okay. So again, we're not really learning the sugya of Ein Hochem B'Mamonach HaRov, just in case you were wondering why we've been talking about it for the last 2 days. We're really learning the sugya of Hochin B'Rov, Hochin B'Nefash Zach HaRov. That's the real sugya. Of Hochin B'Nefash Zach HaRov. So the question is, why does that change? Whatever equal, whatever prevented us from following Rabbi Dina Mamonis, why doesn't that spill over to the Foshas? Why, at the end of the day, does Agamar and Sanhedrin, but Sanhedrin of Samaches, Abachtes, that Hochem in the Foshas Acharoiv, why is that so? Why is it that we follow Rabbi and the Foshas, and we don't follow Rabbi Mamonis? What was the problem by Mamonis, and why doesn't that problem apply to the Foshas? So let's see if we can work backwards in this one. Let's analyze the sugya through the eyes of the Sheikh Shmaitza first. According to the Sheikh Shmaitza, that the real ikuv of Rov, what's really ultimately preventing Rov from taking hold by the Mamonis, is the status of Muchzokos. So one can argue a very strange question. It's almost like a halachic slash philosophical question. Is a person a Muchzok on his own life or not? What's the din? Is a person that have a Moschel of Arai? Is a person a Muchzok on his life? So if you hold that a person is a Muchzok on his life, the same way he's a Muchzok on his money, so then the din is that then we should say Ein Hochem B'Mamonach HaRov, Ein Hochem B'Nefash Zach HaRov. But if one's willing to separate between the two and differentiate between the two and say that Muchzokos by Mamonis makes sense, but I'm not really a Muchzok in my own life, so then if I'm not a Muchzok in my life, so then I don't have anything to offset the Rov, so then Taka Hochem B'Din Nefash Zach HaRov. So according to Sheikh Shmaitza, our Gemara may make a lot of sense. Now, the real answer, based on Tosfos, based on Sheikh Shmaitza, why is it that in Sanhedrin Samach Tes we say Hochem B'Nefash Zach HaRov, whereas in Bava Kamach of Zayin we say Ein Hochem B'Mamonach HaRov? The answer is very simple. Is there Muchzuk? Is there no Muchzuk? By Mamonis there is Muchzuk, and by life there is no Muchzuk. What does that mean even? What does that halachic, hashkafic, philosophical, ethical, moral question mean? Am I a Muchzuk in my own life or not? So the Pashtus Advarim is that in the pure world of halacha, a person is not really muchzak on his life, for the simple reason. Yeah. The Rambam and the Radaz, yeah, based on the Rambam and the Radaz. So the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin has a whole chagadya about why is it that a person can't be held responsible for what he says in Beis Din. What is it? What do they tell you? A person gets arrested. What do they say to the person when they read him his rights? So they say, anything you say, what? Anything that you say may be held against you in a court of law, something like that. So a person could open up his mouth and say something foolish. He could get himself into big, big trouble. So in halacha, that's not necessarily true. In halacha, in the realm of dinim mamonos, you could open up your big mouth and say a lot of things to get you into trouble. Hodos b'adin kameh einim dami. But in the realm of dinim nefashos, that's not going to happen. A guy walks the days and says, I killed somebody. It's b'chol Shabbos. It's b'chol Shabbos. A guy comes in and says, he did the worst of errors. So a person is not killed based on his own hagodah to say this. Ain't on the mason outside of Russia. Why is that so? That ain't on the mason outside of Russia. On the one hand, I could say that I broke your window and Beis Din is going to make me pay $100. So why can't I say that I killed somebody and let Beis Din take my life away? If they could take away $100, why can't they take away my life? So the Rambam gives you a very fascinating psychological analysis as to why that phenomenon is true. The din is true. Why it's true? So the Rambam says as follows. It's based on the following concern, that the Torah was afraid that you could have Nebuch, a person who is not well, and he may want to commit suicide, but he doesn't have enough guts to do it himself, so he'll do it in a clean way. He'll come to Beis Din, he'll walk to Beis Din and tell the Papa Maitza that he was Ovid of Eretz Yisrael, and let Beis Din do the dirty work for him. So we're afraid, says the Rambam, who was afraid the guy's trying to be Nebuch and Ma'abed Atzvah Ladas? That's the Rambam's reason. Why is there no din of walking into Beis Din and obligating himself in a sense for dinin nefashos? So the Radvaz in that Rambam says he doesn't really understand what the Rambam is. It's a nice psychological analysis, but it's not really necessary in halacha, says the Radvaz. He says the reason why a person is not neman to say that he killed somebody, not neman to say that he's b'chal Shabbos, David Vedazara, is because hanefashos l'Hashem. You don't own your nefesh. It means I could say that this money, this $100 in my pocket, belongs to Reuven. I can do whatever I want with my mamonis because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me my mamonis. The din is Hashemayim Shemayim Shemayim Arsal Son of the Adam. So there's a din of dinim mamonis that everything belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu in a religious sense, in the spiritual sense of the word, but in the sense of dinim mamonis. So there's ownership. I own property. You own property. You know, it's not a communism society. This is not socialism. People own private things. So whatever I own is mine, so I can do whatever I want with it. So if I want to come to Beis Din and say, I broke your window, I'm going to pay $100, because today, if I want to come into Beis Din and say that I killed somebody, take away my neshama, take away my life, what do you mean take away your life? Your life doesn't belong to you. You can't walk at the Beis Din and say that Reuven owes Shimon $100, unless you're a Pishnei Meir Miachom Davar. So you can't walk at the Beis Din and give Hodos Baal Din, you Nishpin Hodos Baal Din, because your nefesh doesn't belong to you. That's like the Poshim shot. It's really a pell on the Rambam, why the Rambam gave the whole psychological background. The Rambam's theory may be true also, but in terms of pure halacha, it's so much simpler that you're not the Bailam on your own life. That's what the din is that a person is not allowed to be chayv b'atzma. It's a sugya in the Eipech of Bava Kami. You're not allowed to harm yourself. You're not allowed to damage your own body. You're not allowed to do things that are against your own guf because you're not a bialim in your guf. Let's say when it comes to inyanim of shmiras haguf ha-nefesh. So you're not a bialim to say that, yeah, okay, no problem. I'm in charge. If I get sick, I'll get sick. You know, I'll do that. That's also, you know, let's say, I'll endanger my life. Big deal. I'll smoke. I'll jump out of airplanes. I'll dance with 500 people without a mask. And I'll do all kinds of things that are dangerous that are also to do. So I'm going to do all these kinds of things because that's my problem. You know, I'll take risks. No, I take risks. There are dinim in halacha. There are certain risks you're allowed to take in halacha, certain risks you're not allowed to take in halacha. So you got to learn the sugyas of risk taking, what risks and what the risks are also. So those risks that are also to do, so you're not allowed to buy them to say that I'm going to take them. You don't own your own body. You mean, why is that also like a shtickle mitzvah Hashem Saveda? It sounds like there's also an element of mamonis. It could be that it's a combination of both. That Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you a life to enjoy, you know, that if a person kills somebody, so it's not just an aveir b'dam l'mokom, it's also quite possibly an aveir b'dam l'chavere. So, I mean, it's probably aveir l'chavere also, but I'm saying it's not just a pure b'dam l'mokom. Like the Rishonim have a machlokes about whether a person is about dover on his own life, in the sense of the edus. Let's say Reuven kills Shimon, but before he succeeded in killing Shimon, before Shimon died, so Shimon wants to come to Beis Din and to be made that Reuven's killing him. Reuven was about to kill him. So Rishonim have machlokes, is that a problem of Baal Dover? Are you a Baal Dover on your own life in that sense? So the Pasha Dvarim is that this word from the Radvaz just means that in addition to the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you this chus to live, he is the ultimate bialim on your life. So really, in the sense of both, they're probably both true. Anyway, get back to our story. So comes Rav Chanan and says that if this is true, that you're not really a muchsak on your life because you're not really a ma'ilim on your life, so then we understand exactly why the Gemara in Samech Tes and Sanhedrin is saying that you follow Rov by Din Nefashos, whereas the Gemara in Rav Kama Chav Zayin is saying you don't follow Rov by Din Mamonis, because by Din Mamonis you have to reckon with the issue of muchsak. By Din Nefashos, there's no issue of muchsak to reckon with. Then you, but then you have to further analyze the sugya within the understanding of the Prima Gadim. According to the Prima Gadim, muchsak is not really the word here. The real word here is chazaka meikara. So l'chari, I have a question. According to the Prima Gadim, if the whole thrust of the din, the whole engine that's driving the din of Enoch and Mamrach Harov, is the fact that smoch mitl chazaka, so don't you have a cheskas chazaka meikara by din and fashas also? It means every person has a chazaka that he was alive, so he was not yet a gavra ketila. He wasn't yet found to be Chaim Mises Beis Din. So last week I wasn't Chaim Mises Beis Din. Yesterday I wasn't Chaim Mises Beis Din. 20 minutes ago I wasn't Chaim Mises Beis Din. Now you want to pasken on me that I'm Chaim Mises Beis Din. Aren't you changing my chazaka? So why don't you say that smoch little chazaka, that you want to change my chazaka? I had a cheskas being part of a Mrs. Beis Din, you want to transform it to being chayv a Mrs. Beis Din. So how can you do that? So just because you have a rov, but that's what the Prima Gadim screaming at you, that's what Tosfos is screaming, smoch little chazaka, misle ruba. So why isn't that true? So according to the Prima Gadim, the same way that we don't want to take away your mominess because of smoch little chazaka, so too we shouldn't take away your life based on smoch little chazaka. So you can't hide behind the Sheshmaitz as Muchzakus. The Prima Gadim didn't talk the language of Muchzakus. So the last one wants to argue that the Prima Gadim would fall back and say that this idea of Smoch, Mitl, Chazak, Visla, Rub is only a din midirabanan. That means Min HaTorah, it's not really true. Min HaTorah, you do follow Rav. So how do you pass in Shas of Din Nefashos? Din Nefashos, maybe follow the Derais, take a klolim. Don't follow the Derabanan, take a klolim. That means Min HaTorah, if the guy's Chaim Yisrael Beis, we're going to kill him. It means if he was a Ratzeach according to the standards of the Torah, if he's Chaim Yisrael Beis according to the standards of the Torah, so that's it. We're not going to invoke a Din Derabanan to change that Din Deraisa. But Din Mamonis, a Hefke Beis, and Hefke Beis is going to get intervened, they're going to change everything, all the rules are going to change. But in Din Nefashos, we're just going to follow the pure Din Deraisa. The Prima Gadim never really explains what the answer to this question is. We're just guessing that according to the Prima Gadim, maybe that's the fact that differentiates between Din Nefashos and Din Mamonis. Again, everybody agrees there's got to be a difference because Tosfos tells us there's a difference. Tosfos Sanhedrin said there's no difference. They're all the same. But Tosfos Bava Kama says there's a huge difference between Din Mamonis and Din Nefashos, that by Din Mamonis, Enoch and Mamrach Harav, by Din Nefashos, Hoch and Acharav, based on Asug and Sanhedrin. What's the difference? According to the Sheikh Shmaitz, the difference is very, very simple. In one case, there's Mukzokos, in another case, there's no Mukzokos. Whereas according to the Prima Gadim, that it's a function of Chazaka Meikara, so there's the same Chazaka Meikara by both. So you have to say that you're right, there's a Chazaka Meikara, but we don't want to touch the Dinim Deraisa with Dinim Nefashos, even though we will tamper with them with Dinim Mamonis. So it's a little harder to fine-tune this Nakuda according to the Prima Gadim. There is one last Nakuda in this Tosfos, where Tosfos says that there's one case where we always follow Rov, even by Dinim Mamonis, it's a no-brainer we follow Rov. And where is that? What's the one case we always follow Rov by Dinim Mamonis? By Rov HaDayanim. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the first parak. When you have two Dayanim Sechayev, one says Potter, Vada Nevada, you follow the Rov. So how does that work? How do you follow the Rov there? So what happened over there? So Tosfos has a very cryptic line. What was Tosfos' line? What does Tosfos say? Who remembers? Tosfos said, the Miyot Dayanim is command the Leisa. The Miyot doesn't exist anymore. That one Dayan, I don't see him, he's invisible. That Miyot Dayanim is command the Leisa dummy. So since the Miyot Dayanim is command the Leisa dummy, therefore you can follow Rov. What's the therefore? Bein Lefir Prima Gadim, Bein Lefir Sheish Meitza. According to the Prima Gadim, once you say the Miyot Dayanim is command the Leisa, so then you no longer can say Smoch Mit Lechazocha. And according to the Sheish Meitza, once the Miyot Dayanim is command the Leisa, then there's no Leidus Asofik anymore. When there's no Leidus Asofik anymore, then you don't follow the Muchsa. So the only thing that we're not sure is why did that one Dayan disappear into thin air? What made that one Dayan to be Commander Leisa Dami? So that's critical. That's necessary for the whole Pshat to Tosfos. That's the engine that's driving Tosfos' whole Mahalach is based on that Nakuta that the Mir of the Yarm is Commander Leisa. We don't have a clue. Maybe we do have a clue why that Mir of the Yarm is Commander Leisa. Hopefully tomorrow we'll try to figure out that point of Tosfos. Why the Mir of the Yarm is Commander Leisa? Why does that for sure you follow Rav. And then the last malach in the sugya will be the Shishmaizis himself, his grandiose, brand new pshat, against all the Taisim, to give you a whole nother beer in our sugya of why you follow Rav by Dina Fashas, not by Dina Mamanas. So we'll kind of want to put the final touches on tomorrow, then hopefully Hashem will start the next sugya tomorrow. So guys should start to get ahead already into the sugyas of Rodef, into the sugyas of Bamachteras, and to get rolling. Those who want to learn the two daf in the middle that we're skipping, we're not going to say too much. There's more, a little bit more got into those two daf, and we're going to hopefully make sure pick up again with Bab Machteras fairly soon tomorrow. Okay, thank you. All right. Okay, I said forget what we're supposed to do with the Svarim. Find out what the Moskona was.